Welcome to another...
The official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
Do you hear that, Earth? The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! You're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one audio source for Harry Potter news, theories, discussion, as well as info straight from the makers of the books and films themselves, like me, Matt Lewis. I play Neville Longbottom in the Harry Potter films, and I'm very happy to be here helping introduce your hosts, the Pottercast trio, Melissa, John, and Sue.
Should old acquaintance be forgot? Welcome to the New Year's episode of Pottercast.
Well, that wasn't the song you promised to sing.
Yeah, I don't sing. Not sure if he's caught up. That was last year, John. Get with the times. Why not swinging his old news?
Old news. Dig up Voldemort's outside here.
It's old news. Don't even give people ideas. What are you doing?
That's our John, everyone. Do you hear him talking? He's here.
Ask Peeves for Voldemort's
peeves
outside.
It.
See what you get.
Peeves it. You can peeves it. I give you... Fine. I'm fine with that. You can peeves Voldemort's outside. Anyway, we have a nice little look back at the last year in Harry Potter and Pottercast planned for this episode. We'll do some resolutions, we'll do some looking forward to 2007 in Pottercast. But first, as always, we have to hear from our friends at Borders.
Yes, I love hearing from our friends at Borders.
Aren't they always so friendly? Today's Pottercast is brought to you by Borders. Sign up at Borders today to be the first one to know when the last Harry Potter book will be released. Click on the banner at the top of Pottercast.com to join the Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows notification list. Visit BorderStores.com to locate the Borders nearest you. See how that works? You find out when the book's coming out, then you sign up at BorderStores.com to find the Borders nearest you, and then you know where you're going for your book.
Mm-hmm. Sounds cool. I can't wait.
That
it's all
is slick.
It's slick. It's awesome, man.
Okay, it is the end. It's the end of the year here at Pottercast. Once again, I'm Melissa, and as always, my buddies.
Sue. And who's that over there?
And it's me, Mario.
Why do we always say that? I want to look at this for a second. Why do we always say, who's that over there? Everybody knows
know.
They're not really over there. Everybody knows we're in different states.
Well, over there in
or
different states.
Or do you?
State.
Would you say, John?
Over there in different states.
Yeah.
Okay,
I guess
way over there.
Way down there, or way up there, or I don't know.
Okay, well, exciting stuff.
Geography.
If you're new to Pottercast, we thank you for puffing it out and sticking around. We're going to go do our news, as always, with our news mistress, Sue.
It's Sue's news, the last news of 2006.
Sorry.
In all the flurry of the excitement over the release of the title for the last Harry Potter book, a few retailers such as Amazon UK, France, and Germany moved to begin accepting pre-orders for Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, even though no release date has yet been set. Amazon UK reported that within 8 hours of the book being available for pre-order, it quickly took the number one spot on the bestseller list. Also in the UK, the Royal Mail has said it's begun massive preparations for the day the book will be released and plan to meet with retailers to coordinate delivery of what many expect will be the most widely anticipated book of the series. Now, while there has been a no official release date yet set for the book, there has been a flurry of rumors for that book release date. One said it was at the end of July in 2007. However, TLC was told by Scholastic that they have not released any information about this as of yet. Even the bookies are getting into the action as they are accepting bets on the potential demise of Harry in Book 7, Boo, along with those who may even do the deed. However, they have generously said that if Harry survives the book, that all bets, quote, will be void and stake money will be returned, end quote. And finally, with the release of the title, even the filmmakers are getting excited. Prisoner of Azkaban director Alfonso Cuarón has given a new interview where he said he again would be interested in returning to helm a Harry Potter film, and this time was especially interested in the film version of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. One bit of film news now. Early next year is definitely the time to be in London to catch your favorite Potter actors on the stage. Not only will Dan Radcliffe and Richard Griffiths be on stage in Equus, but now word comes that Fiona Shaw, who plays Petunia Dursley, will be on stage in Samuel Beckett's Happy Days at the National Theatre in London, which previews January 19th and runs through March 1st. And to the great joy of this editor, actor Jason Isaacs, who memorably portrays Lucius Malfoy, of course, is set to make a return to the British stage, where he will be appearing in Harold Pinter's The Dumb Waiter, previewing February 2nd at Trafalgar Studios in the West End, and tickets are available now for this play, which runs through March 24th. Yay! Road trip, anyone? Finally, as 2007 is set to begin, plans are already being made for two new Harry Potter conventions in later years. Brought to you by the same group that is sponsoring Prophecy in Toronto of 2007, word comes now that Portis 2008 will be held in Dallas, Texas, and Level 2 2009 will be held in the beautiful San Jose, California. You can find more information about this on our website. Speaking of leaky news, we have pulled together several amazing news posts recapping the year that was in Harry Potter films, fandom, and of course the books. And you can find a comprehensive look back at the amazing year that was in Harry's world and much more, as always, at www.leakynews.com, which is updated daily. And back to the show we go!
Thank you, Sue, for that news.
That's some great news!
Why do you do it like that? Always.
That's some great news! You're the whole chipmunk.
I'm so excited.
John's very excited.
Well, I mean, how could there possibly be any bigger news than what we've been talking about all week?
Oh, my goodness.
Which was? Sue?
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows and all the different titles and...
Can you believe what fans have done to it so far?
Oh, it's just been extraordinary. I mean, and it's not just fans. The bookies are already making odds on if Harry's going to live or die. In Deathly Hallows, I mean...
He's going to die.
No, he's not.
Of course he's not. I've been saying for months that he's not going to die. They're going to just be like, oh, okay.
You know, my favorite thing is that the punters have all said that they all bets will be void and stake money will be returned if Harry confounds the pundits and, quote, survives. I mean, give me a break.
You're going to have a lot of broke bookies.
I think so.
This
comes up to the fans, bookies. Why aren't you listening to the podcast?
Because they,
if you were a smart bookie, you'd listen to the podcast.
And make, you know, he's going to live.
Kids, don't become bookies.
Don't do that gambling thing.
Just because you have the inside track on Harry Potter. Yeah. Like insider trading or something, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But, I mean, just the reaction to the books. Let's talk about something a little more happy. I mean, Deathly Hallows is already on the Amazon UK, the number one pre-ordered book. I mean, it's just on their number one bestseller. It's amazing. Which is, you know, you were talking about that Borders ad. People are just
Well, the thing
now.
Is, we don't have a release date. We don't have a book. We don't know how much it's going to cost. Nobody cares. They want to order it now. It's hilarious.
It is.
You can do that in the coffee shop, can't you?
Yes, you can. We have all the links for the different, because the German and the French and the UK all have the pre-order thing actually already on. And you can do that via links in our Cauldron Shop.
It might be the first time that since Harry Potter came to America that the UK residents got served first.
I know. They're probably all happy about that.
Nah.
Well, what's next? We're going
to
have the
we
Aussie
get to
people
pre-order
serve
a non-existent
first?
Book before you.
I know. Oh, they got the.
You're
going to have the Aussies jumping up and down. Yeah. Say, hey.
Aussies. Oh, my sister's going
pre-order,
tomorrow.
Pre-order the book. We'll send you a bottle of a vegetable mite.
Ew. John.
Is it a vegetable mite? Didn't we have...
Vegemite.
Yeah.
Vegemite.
That's the same thing, probably.
It is.
We had Garth on to describe that to us.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, you can pre-order all that stuff. If you want to pre-order the UK version just for the heck of it, say you want to say you've pre-ordered, please feel free. All those links are in the show notes, and they will be forever on leakynews.com and podcast.com and any other .com we bought.
I know.
There's a lot
of them.
There are. Okay, what else is up?
Well, you know, it's just amazing. I mean, again, this is more about Deathly Hallows, is that not only are the pre-orders being taken right now, but the Royal Mail in the UK is already beginning, they're planning their strategy on how they're going to go about delivering the books. We have no release date, yet we're figuring out how many trucks we may need.
I bet it's like the JCPenney holiday catalog day for mailmen.
You think?
You know?
Yeah.
That has to be the worst day, like the phone book day. So
yeah.
The phone books get delivered. But, you know, they have to dread that day.
Oh, man.
Your one little mail cart's not going to be enough. It's just going to be big, fat books.
Yeah. I mean, they're talking about how, you know, they're going to plan their security and, you know, how many trucks. And, you know, I mean, last year they said like something like one in every 18 houses in certain neighborhoods in the UK got a Harry Potter book delivered to them, which is amazing if you think about that. So I guess there's...
I think it's something like, it's going to be something like one every six in America.
Oh, I bet.
Because if there was, just strictly mathematically speaking, there are 300 million books in print in the world. So say that's like, say half of them are in America. I'm making this up. I don't know if it's true. So half of them are in America, so it's like one every 20 people or so. I can't do math. What am I... Divided by six, so it's 20 million. because there's 6 books, so there's like 20 million readers. So, right, one every 100 people. Okay, that didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I'll take it back. Anyway, it's a lot of freaking books.
Thank you.
Who needs math? I'm like, Joe, no, who needs math?
Who needs it? I just, you know, I mean, but it's just, everything is just, the anticipation is just unbelievable. I can't even imagine what it'll be like the day that the actual release date is here, and then the day that it comes out. It'll just be...
The day the release date is here.
Oh.
If we thought the title day was crazy.
Huh.
Okay.
But, you know, and I almost don't want it to come because, I mean, it's already, as wonderful it is to have a title, it's bad for me. I'm still struggling like that because it's making it more and more real. And all these stories that keep coming out, it just makes it more and more like it's actually going to happen.
The day of the release date is announced is the last big Harry Potter news day ever.
Mm.
We've got one left. I mean, there's little announcements, directors, casting, book cover.
Yeah.
You know? But in terms of big announcements that we couldn't have guessed, that we're waiting to find out a piece of information, that's it.
Yeah.
Scary, huh?
Yeah.
So we'll just have to shut down, close up shop.
That's right. No.
No.
Thank
we're
God.
Getting actually let's because we have been getting emails. What's going to happen with the book 7 coming? You'll be like, no, Leaky is not going to shut down. As long as there are Harry Potter fans out there who want to hang out on Leaky, we will be around. Certainly
hope. Your better question is asking J.K. Rowling what's going to happen to her website.
Well, I don't think she's going anywhere. She's already said she's written other books. I don't think she's going to,
yeah, but
you know
is she
going to
change it? So it's not like, well, I guess how much Potter stuff really is on that site?
It's not. It's Harry Potter and More is the headline on her site.
Yeah.
So when she's done with Harry Potter, it'll be the next
thing. I think she needs like a gallery of pictures of herself.
She's got a good one of her and Goofy. I like that one when she was
Goofy. Yeah, it doesn't count. I want a gallery of Joe pictures and somewhere to vote and leave comments. Be like, nice hat
funny.
You're wearing here, Joe. Where'd you buy that hat?
It's always funny stepping outside the like little fandom world and seeing what other people think of her site because I'm on a children's literature list and I don't have time to read it all, so I just kind of pop in there now and then. And I was rifling through it yesterday and I saw people complaining about how hard it is to use her site and it's really not for me, et cetera, et cetera. And we're thinking as fans, we're like, oh, this is the best thing ever. It's the easiest thing in the world, but
right.
It does make sense if you have absolutely no idea what to do. It's not, you know, the site's not for you. Not for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny.
Well, or get the in-jokes, or, you know, like the why we need port keys, or, you know, I mean, if you're not really that familiar with the
thing,
you know?
Well, I mean, but seriously, who's
going to
sit there?
And, like, the ads and, like, the newspapers.
Well, but who's going to sit there and figure out to click in the mirror and click in the thing if they aren't
yeah,
hardcore,
yeah.
Or they don't have directions?
Yeah.
You know?
I love it.
I had a look at directions. I made sure I did it. Did the whole puzzle once before it went offline.
Yeah.
Happy.
Yeah, it's fun.
What else is up this week, Sue?
Well, I'd like to talk about. I know there's been so much book news, but I would like to talk just briefly about the film. Alfonso Cuarón has given another interview again, where he's expressed interest yet again about coming back to book, and he was talking about that again. That Joe had told him while he was filming Azkaban that there were things that she was trying to do in Book 6 is what he said, and that contradicted something she was going to do, which I thought was interesting.
You know, it's so funny watching all these directors make these oblique, kind of casual comments about how cool it would be to direct Book 7. It's like they're sort of nudging the powers that be in the ribs
right.
And say, look at me, look at me. And it's like a little quiet fight going on for the 7th film.
Right, right.
Everybody wants that film.
Yeah, because he said he would like to do that. He said it was interesting, and it would be... I don't know.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'd like to do that. Sure, sure.
Yeah.
I'd like to do that. And the meantime, it's going, oh, my God, I want to do it. You know?
Yeah.
You can't find a director who...
Yeah. I don't know. I bet you
would. Who is it, Terry Gilliam, who hates him?
Oh, my God, no. I mean, he's a brilliant director, don't get me wrong. I am a Gilliam fan. I will say that openly, but I just don't think that...
Well, what would happen if they went to him and said, you can have it? Could he turn it down? Could he... give that up?
I think after the way he slammed Mr. Columbus,
I don't know.
He might have burned
bridges.
I don't know. Factory jobs really aren't
bridges,
to him.
Bridges aside, say they walked up to him tomorrow and said, it's yours. Do you think he could resist the temptation?
Ooh, I don't know. That's, ooh. No.
I want to ask him that question.
Okay, let's do that. We'll go knock on the door.
We'll get him here on podcast. Is there anything else important before we launch into the nostalgia-rific part
of this? This is important. You know I had it. Okay, not only next year are we seeing Mr. Dan Radcliffe and Richard Griffiths and Equus, but someone else is going to be on stage at the same time. And who is that going to be?
Fiona Shaw.
Fiona Shaw is, yes, but somebody much more fabulous. Not that she's not fabulous enough. But
she is fabulous. Let me tell you,
yes,
I saw her in Medea. Oh.
She is a wonderful, fabulous, talented actress. But my man.
I'm sorry. What do you think?
Jason Isaacs is going to be on stage. I know. I do.
Sue, if he knew that you'd be in the audience, he might recommend a fourth wall.
I was like, I mean, as soon as I saw that news, I didn't even post it yet. I went like, okay, I'm going to go to Cheap Tickets and look and see how much I can go over there.
Oh, jeez. Well, we'll see what happens this year.
But he's going to be on stage. It's a funny play, too. And
what's the play?
It's The Dumb Waiter, which is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a comedy. It's a two-person play, and he'll be fine.
Two-person? That means he's on all the time.
I know.
Almost all the time.
Sue, if you went there, would you be able to keep the screening to, like, a low level, or
would
they have to stop the show to move you?
They're going
to
do one of those announcements. Please turn off all cellular devices, and please turn off your squeeing devices to Upton.
Oh.
they're going to give you meds and tape when you walk in.
He's going to walk
on
out.
Your mouth.
He's going to walk out in the beginning of the show, and he's going to be like, the performance is dedicated to Hufflepuffs everywhere, especially my darling Sue.
Oh,
he's going to point to the crowd.
Sue's
going to stand and then promptly faint.
Oh. I bet you he knows about you, Sue.
Oh,
I mean, outside of having met you and all that stuff, but you know what I mean. Like, I mean, I bet you he's done research now, because he said he was an internet geek.
I know.
I bet you he's done research now and knows about you.
I know. I mean, because I'm not ever shy about it. At any chance, let's talk Jason. Give me the Jason love.
Okay. Is there any other important news to talk about this week?
No, I think I've done it all. There's books. We have a book. We have a title.
We don't have a book.
We don't have a book. We have a title.
She has a book.
I have the book.
I hope that she holds on to that book for several more months yet, because I can't take it. I can't.
She has this scanner that she uses to send me some of the notebook pages every now and again to see my
mm-hmm.
opinion. Little JPEG files. I print them off and write notations and scan them back. It's a pretty good arrangement we have.
How's the parts about Dawlish coming?
Well, the Dawlish, actually, he got his name involved in a chapter title this time around, so I was pretty pleased about that.
Wouldn't it be funny if that were true?
Wouldn't
it be funny if one of the chapter titles ends up being Dawlish?
Not just Dawlish, obviously. I would assume that there would be a bit more to it than that.
Can we please go and do our... This is our New Year's show, guys. New Year's.
I'm so freaking excited. When's that ball dropping?
It's dropping on Sunday, but...
It's dropping any minute now, because you're playing this right...
That's right!
Right when we're giving it to you. You're playing it on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to sit around and listen
and
to it.
And you have to count down and press play at exactly 11:03 in 22 seconds, like last year.
Not going to be correct.
But if not...
We're just not having any
luck. We'll try it anyway,
tonight.
And then approximately when the New Year should be happening, we'll laugh at you for doing so.
Not funny.
I think that would be hilarious.
Yeah, to you. Well, I want to ask you guys to guess how many shows, not counting Leaky Mugs, have appeared on the Pottercast feed this year. Mm. This is our first full year of Pottercast. One full year.
Wow.
52 weeks, but how many shows, including extras, silk shows, DVD commentaries, and whatever other thing we, but not Leaky Mugs and not Leaky Mug Minis.
Ooh.
Of which there were like 10 or 12 or something. It's crazy.
76.
No.
Pottercast, and we were here. I don't know.
58.
58?
Wow.
58? 58?
That's one every week plus six.
Who did all of those?
I don't know. We did. And that's not counting Leaky Mugs, and there were like 10 or something of those. Guys, we've been busy.
Who edited all of those?
Our wonderful Pottercast editors who we didn't have last year.
We love them.
Oh, my
gosh.
That's
probably, like, the most important addition to Pottercast.
Yeah, totally. You guys, I mean, they make... How can we possibly do 58 shows? We were struggling doing the first 10 before we had editors.
I mean, 58 shows.
Hey, I held my own for a little while, but agreed. I don't think I could be able to go back into that swing. That's tough stuff.
That it was really to do the site and all everything, the way that Leaky has shaken out, all the work we all have. There's just no way. So to have people constantly of this high caliber, they're doing it for. I mean, because we've handed in some pretty poor audio quality stuff. They have turned around, like the Arthur Levine interview. I had the microphone in the wrong spot, and those guys just worked on it and worked on it and worked on it until it was hearable.
That Arthur Levine interview, I have to say, was one of my favorite things. I enjoyed hearing Mr. Levine. This
is really happy.
You know, I mean, when I started out last year, you know, we were thinking about how making resolutions at the end of this time of year. You think, could you imagine all these things that we actually ended up having on the show this year? I mean, it's just the people.
Well, let's see. We had Matt Lewis come back for a second time,
and he was fabulous. Matt was fabulous,
and Matt's fantastic. I love him.
Mm-hmm.
He eventually is going to come around to do a quick title thing, talk about title with
him.
Arthur Levine was, ever since we started the podcast, I wanted to speak to Arthur Levine and sort of finally get it set up and do such a lot. He doesn't sit down for an hour with people. And he even, when we shut off the thing, I was very flattered. He said, you got me talking. I don't usually, you know. Yeah. And I said, yeah.
And a girl reporter lady.
Stay in the life. No. Yeah. It's not often that happens, but it was really nice. Because I think that...
Because
some of the things that we get to do here on podcasts is get people really, really talking about it in ways that other professionals don't brook, you know?
Yeah.
No journalist from the Dallas, you know, whatever, is really going to sit there and talk about
it. Especially from Dallas.
Dallas, you're fine. I just picked the city. I was thinking of the Fort Wayne Sentinel. That's what I was thinking of. Who else do we have around here? We had M. Night Shyamalan.
M. Night, yeah.
Oh, M. Night.
Yeah.
I had such a great time talking to him.
We have another non-Harry Potter... related big interview that I'm working on, so I'm sort of begging for it, and you'll understand why if I can announce it when I can announce it, hopefully by the end of this month. Who else did we have right here? We had Jamie Whaley come around.
Right.
We had
I love
Cheryl was on a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm. She was great, wasn't she? And Pants. All about Pants with Cheryl.
All the Pants. Ivana Lynch came
on.
Chris Rankin came a bunch of times.
God, I love Chris.
Chris Rankin!
One of my favorite additions to podcasts this year was Canon Conundrum.
Canon Conundrum.
Yeah. I really think the show took a good turn when we added it.
Absolutely.
Steve.
Absolutely?
Is that a word?
It is when I say words.
Okay.
I enjoy
the transcription elves.
Uh-huh.
They sent it to the database of words.
I mean, they just rose up. Cursing your name.
Oh.
Well, you know what, John, though?
If you
want to
know how to spell that word, email andrew@staff.mugglecast.com.
Well, let's talk about the impact of your words, Mr. Horcree, who sweeps the fandom with his words. And Joe, that was a good moment.
That's right.
Yeah.
Everybody knows my words.
There he goes.
This is brilliant.
What words? What words have there been? There's been Horcree.
Yeah.
What else?
Well, and not so much a word, but Mr. Blood became a phenomenon.
Oh, Mr. Blood became his own thing. Became a band.
Yeah.
He's a band.
Mr. Blood has a band.
Mr. Blood and Mr. Bloods, which I named as a joke, and all of a sudden they appeared in cyberspace.
You've got some t-shirts going.
Speaking of bands.
Oh, yes. Love the bands. Love them.
There's...
A Whomping Willows?
No, well, that's later.
Neville Longbottoms?
No, are there the Neville Longbottoms?
Sue and the Hufflepuffs. Love them.
There are Sue and the Hufflepuffs.
Uh-huh.
There's John and the Noes, isn't there? Isn't there like a John band?
Sure, yes.
I'm sure there. I know there is one, but I don't remember there. But there's Mr. Blood and Super Blood. There's Melissa and the Nellies.
There's Crooks and the Shanks.
Crooks and the Shanks. There's so many bands.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's just been wild.
There's Rocket. Buck and the Beaks.
Buck and the Beaks? No.
No, there's not. Don't
and they,
do that.
They throw these wheels at people in the middle of it.
2006 Powdercast taught you anything?
What?
They throw little ferrets out at people in the audience.
Here, let's bomb the audience with dead animals. That's a good plan.
Not stuffed animals. That would be cute. But real live dead ones.
Real live dead ones, huh?
Those are really hard. They're hard to find.
Real?
They are. Oh, dear God. Okay, well, our fourth, we're counting down here. Number five on our list of big things in Pottercast this year was the Canon Conundrums. Number four, we started doing fan-made DVD commentaries.
Oh, yes. All together now, ready? Dobby is free.
I think that's our tagline of the year. What do you think?
I think so. Has to be. Has to be.
Dobby is free.
Love it.
Love it. And we're going to do more of those commentaries. Don't worry. We haven't forgotten.
Well, we have two more movies. That's right. We have to spread this out because we have to wait until we have two more films to do, and then we're going to be out of them. And then we have to start having other people to.
I think they're going to make one that is going to be encompassing all seven books. It'd be a three-hour movie, and it's just going to shuffle along through all seven books into one film.
Perish the thought. Oh.
No, seriously. They need to do with a BBC special, like the 6 hour.
No, what they need to do is make a miniseries like a Smallville. That WB already knows how to do that because they own the Smallvilles.
Why would they do that, John?
Because I want to see, three chapters make up a whole half-hour episode. I want everything in there. I want to see, what...
That's a miniseries. That's not a TV series.
What are you talking about?
They can't make up stuff. Joe's not going to allow that.
No, not makeup stuff.
And to do stuff like that, it's a whole different format. It's not suited for that.
Oh.
Maybe a miniseries.
What's the difference? What's a miniseries?
Miniseries ends at a finite time.
Right.
A television series is made to go on as long as the audience sees it.
It would go on as long as following up until book seven.
Then it's not a series.
And then they find good fan fictions on the internet.
Okay.
Knew that was coming.
Well, our number three on our list I already talked about. We talked about the advent of the editors and how it's been possible for us to put out a podcast every week. And also, of course, our transcription elves.
Yes. Love the elves. Rockin' elves.
Who make it possible for those who can't hear to also enjoy the podcast and all these interviews to get transcribed, which is important, as we've heard. Number two we've already talked about, too. We wanted to talk about all the interviews. I remember that our resolution last year was to really push the interviews and get some more, and I feel like we have done that because we know that you guys enjoy it.
Right.
So that was but number one.
Wow. What could it be?
Ring. It's not even a podcasting at all. It's our two live leaky mugs with the MuggleCast boys at the New York podcast on August 2nd and the Live Lumos podcast in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Awesome.
Nice.
Could you believe we did it?
No.
Those two live podcasts. We did a bunch of Scholastic Tour podcasts. We did podcasts basically all over the country.
We're coast to coast, baby. Coast to coast.
We have plenty of good stuff coming there, too.
We did three. Didn't we do the Leaky Mug out in California, right? Was that three?
Right. We did one in California.
Oh,
we
have
another live podcast. Oh, man. I'm forgetting. I'm losing my brain.
That was rocking.
So, yeah, that's our Pottercast highlights of 2006.
Woo!
Thanks, John. Well, why don't we talk about the big moments this year in Harry Potter? There will be, you've probably already read our year in review stuff on Leaky, but it has also been a big year in Harry Potter.
Unbelievable. I mean, how do you start to encompass everything we went through? I mean, to where we're at right now, you know?
Well, what have we all went through, though?
Well, there's...
Because I have a very short-term selective memory, so I could tell you what happened 2 days ago, but beyond that, I need to go consult my journal.
Oh. Well, we started out, I think I remember, like, the beginning of the year, we started out, like, with, like, casting news, right? I mean, that was, like, a big deal.
We got our first big batch of announcements of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix cast, including Luna Lovegood.
I mean, wasn't her story amazing? That open casting call, and here's this lovely girl.
Who's already in contact with J.K. Rowling. Tells her that she wants the part so badly, but she'll never get cast because she's from a place called Termonfeck and nothing ever happens there.
Wow.
I mean, could you just... Well, right, so the biggest Harry Potter fan ever in the world got cast.
She is.
As Lily
Lovegood.
It
was a happy day in the fandom.
Mm-hmm.
In the Termonfeck world.
It was. They threw a whole parade.
But, you know, the thing about it, I mean, not only when we, the first time we heard that interview, like, Lizzo had an interview with her on NewsRound, and I just, like, fell in love with her voice, but she talks just like that. She just had that misty, dreamy quality to her voice. I thought, I could not believe it. But then, when we finally got those stills of her as Ivana, what was she wearing? The
That's right.
Oh, I love it.
That she made. That she made herself. And she insisted that she wear them in the film. Like, she told him, no, I have to wear these. Like, this is the way, you know, she has a butterbeer cork necklace as well. Like, oh, Luna wears this. I have to wear this. She also sent me some lattice earrings.
Oh, that's so cool. Oh.
She did. It's like, I can't even tell you. I'm going to wear them. I got to make a picture.
Yes, do it.
She's just the cutest.
That's awesome.
Ever. And I'm telling you, if everything that we're, that we know about her right now bears through to the film, she could be the best incarnation of a book character we've seen yet.
Awesome.
Everything down to, I mean, she just looks the part, obviously, and we've got a few, well, you heard her on podcast last week, she sounds the part. It's ridiculous.
Awesome.
It's perfect is what it is.
Yeah. And she has an all-encompassing knowledge of the things that she loves, the same way that Luna has an all-encompassing knowledge of the things that she loves. You know, she knows where to look for the crumple horse star pack. You know, that's Luna. Like, it's so, it's great. Ugh, she's just awesome.
But, well, I mean, you know, and I was so thrilled to get her, but we got so many other great actors cast this year, too. I mean.
We did.
Natalia Tena is Toph. Yes.
Toph, I can't wait to see more
of
her.
We did have. Yeah, I know. We haven't had a good picture of her yet.
Oh, no. Look at these fuzzy little...
Yeah.
You shouldn't be taking these pictures.
Yeah.
Those tick me off.
Yeah. But we did see a glimpse, though, when we got all that stuff of Miss Helena Bonham Carter, which is just...
I know.
Oh, she's scary.
I don't... I'm going to reserve judgment, but I really don't like the big wild hair for Bellatrix.
Maybe it was the product of a spell that was just cast on her, like the crazy hair spell. And that's why we saw her with crazy hair. Maybe we didn't see the scene prior where they had the crazy hair spell.
But, I mean, she just looked like she had the expression. I mean, she could do that faded beauty look that Bellatrix was supposed to have. But just the acting power of her is just, I can't wait to see that scene between her and Mr. Oldman. I can't. Although I dread it. I just think it'll be just really intense. And she's not the only good actress we got, too. Didn't we get Imelda Staunton? As
Umbridge, and from what we've seen in the pictures, whoo, she looks perfect.
John, weren't you talking about those plates? Those pink plates? They're hers, or those cats?
Oh, the kitty plates.
Yes.
That's right. The kitty plates with all the special little kitties.
Yeah.
I heard that Dawlish was trying out for that role, Dawlish the cat, and made it to the third callback, but did not get selected, sadly. It was a talent competition, actually. She did great in the swimsuit, but a talent competition.
Well, for the record, if I start talking about my cat now, it's officially not my fault.
She forgot the words to her song for the talent competition, so she was disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
It was sad. They had a pretty big plate picked out for her, too.
Beginning of the year, we got a lot of great casting announcements. In book news, our number four of stuff that made big Harry Potter news this year. An uptight, crankety woman in Georgia named Laura Mallory.
Oh, my favorite lady.
Oh.
His boo. No, I mean, she's obviously misguided, we say.
Possessed.
As the supreme rulers of the universe. No, this is the woman who has been fighting for months and months to get Harry Potter banned from the shelves in the Georgia school system. And though she keeps getting knocked down, she's like a weeble, she just gets right back up. And goes forward and is appealing to, you know, God or something. I don't know. She's appealing to everyone. She wants those books gone.
It's just...
You know what? You know, I don't think she's going to ever get anywhere with that.
I hope not.
You know, if you've gone to three different hearings and you haven't gotten anywhere, lady, it's time to
hang out.
You know,
lady, I think you should just keep up the good fight.
That's right.
Just
give Harry Potter more.
Keep giving us some news, because so news can Suze can report the news, and then you can write your book one day, lady. You're most likely, no doubt, doing this entirely for.
That nobody will buy.
That nobody will buy. You know, everybody, we'll all buy your book and we'll burn on it and everything else like you do. You're harebrained theories.
Exactly, because she's the...
Oh, my goodness.
She's responsible for bringing a lot of attention to the franchise, which, hey...
There you go.
Every burned book... What's that quote that Joe has on her site? Every burned book enlightens the world.
But
clearly, I like that.
Hell yeah.
But it just flabbergasts me that... She has not taken the time to even open the book, and yet she persists, and yet...
I know. Oh, that's the best part of it, though. She's all like, you know, I conclude that these books are going to promote this and that. Be like, really? And how do you form this conclusion? Looking at the cover of that dang thing? It actually, maybe read the synopsis or the inside flap? Come on, lady.
Yeah.
At least buy the Cliff Notes, maybe.
Well, the kicker was when she said that they encouraged school shooting.
Yes.
Oh, did she?
That was the most offensive statement.
And we got,
it was.
And we got, I mean, I'm not going to reveal the name, but we got a letter from somebody who was a survivor of the shootings at Columbine High School.
Wow.
Who read that and was enraged. And one day we'll get her permission and interview her fully because...
be great.
Yeah, well, I mean,
we can send
lady,
a copy to that lady's house.
Yeah,
seriously, it brings it into full focus.
We
have somebody
paper.
Who lives through that horrible, horrible experience, and she's making a joke of it for her little petty war.
Mm.
That's when I get really angry at Laura Mallory.
I just, you know.
I agree.
Great, thank you, John.
I don't have to throw in my support.
Well, my hope is for her resolution for next year is that she sees the light, and so that's all I want to talk. I don't even like to talk about her, even though I don't want to cover away from it. She just angers me so. It's just not worth it, you know.
All right, so let's move on to our number three top big attention getting story kind of thing of the year in Harry Potter, and which is
trailer.
Which is
What was that thing?
We got a trailer.
Poster.
No. Yeah.
Well, no.
Yeah.
It was part of that whole week. Warner Brothers, after weeks and weeks and weeks and months of nothing and driving us all crazy waiting for images and movie stills from the fifth movie, decided to bombard us with them to break all of our sites so that when the trailer came out, we couldn't even post it.
That whole, that span of 10 days in November was just unbelievable to me. It was just the most extraordinary amount of information. I just felt overwhelmed. I really did.
It was just
a
blitz. It was like, oh, here's another Harry Potter image. Here's another Harry Potter. Here's another one. It was just an overload. All of a sudden we had then HBO came out with this behind the scenes thing that basically shows the entire film, and you know it's been wild,
and it's just so much
too much.
It really was, John. I agree. I thought I saw too much personally, and I know that's shocking coming from a media person, but I still again say I thought they just showed too much all at once, and it was just But that's me. Maybe I'm being an old fuddy-duddy.
But they totally blitzed it. But I think that it was so much at once that when it's out there now, and it'll give it the time to build up the way it needs to. You know.
But I was glad we did get the trailer.
We should make a list of what we haven't seen yet.
The centaurs.
The centaurs?
That's right.
Grop!
We saw a sketch for him, but...
Who's the guy that voices Grop?
Tony Maudsley.
Didn't he also voice Fox?
Does Fox talk?
Fox?
Does he now?
Yeah.
In John's dreams,
right?
Which now worry me.
The deleted scene?
Yeah, does he?
Where Fox becomes like a Fraggle.
Fraggle Rock with Fox.
It's a very low voice.
Chase your cares away. Save them for another
day. And then he goes,
you're speaking of Fraggle Rock.
Uh-huh.
Down in Chamber Secrets. Anyway. No, so we did get a trailer and a ton of stuff from the Harry Potter fifth movie. My favorite of which was the picture of Dumbledore's army.
Yes. Fabulous.
Yay.
Yes. Yay.
I remember seeing that thing for the first time, and I remember taking my camera phone and snapping a quick picture of it. No, I didn't.
Right, John.
I'm just kidding.
That's right here. Hear that, Warner Brothers?
I didn't have my camera.
Kidding.
I'm a good sport. I follow the rules.
Okay. Number two on our list of gigantic things that happened this year
was
once again in my lovely hometown, which was?
Miss Joe came to the Big Apple.
And wore
yes,
awesome
she
shoes.
Did. They were fabulous. Snake shoes, baby.
Which I found, by the way. I found them online.
No way.
I have a picture
really?
Of them, and I keep forgetting to
Whoa.
Post them.
Whoa, cool.
We'll put them up. I keep forgetting. It's Joe's shoes. But, yeah, Joe Rowling comes to New York and does a reading.
Two nights
of readings with Joan Irving and Stephen King. She reads from the portion of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince where Dumbledore shows Harry the memory of him going back to tell Tom Riddle
right.
about Hogwarts.
At the orphanage. Right.
And takes questions.
Unbelievable. I mean, go ahead.
She confirms forever that Dumbledore is absolutely 100% positively, I'm sorry, Dumbledore is not dead.com, dead.
That was awesome.
I don't know. I still can't get over just hearing her read out loud Tom Riddle's name and reading.
She was so pretty.
Oh, she's gorgeous. Yeah.
But Sue, you
yes,
met her.
I was going to say, that's my personal
yeah,
favorite
dang,
thing
yes,
of the
Sue.
Year. It's my number one quiz that weekend. But just, I don't know. Yes, and I got to hear her speak, and it was just, you know, in person, too, besides reading. And it was just, oh, my God, but
you know, I can't really complain because I actually went shopping with her that week in
right.
New York. We were trying to find something for her to wear that night, and I said, what do you think? She was pointing at these shoes that had these badgers wrapped around it. And I'm like, maybe you'd be better off with the snakes.
No, no, no,
I think
no.
the Slytherin house suits you.
Dope.
For the shoe department. And
well, you,
she actually agreed with me eventually at the end.
You dope.
Shoe shopping
those
with John.
Those badger shoes were nothing to look at, though, I gotta say.
Oh.
Sorry, Sue.
Keep it up.
Well, the snakes are better suited for twining around an ankle. You gotta get
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it was just so amazing. So amazing. Joe was here, man. I mean, miracles happen.
It was her first visit to the United States since Goblet yeah. of Fire tour in 2000 when she rode the country on a Scarlet steam engine. Was that in America or did she do that
she
in the UK?
UK? She went around. I don't... But I think what she did
here?
Do something here.
There
yeah.
was both. They did both, right? Yeah. They did some... Anyway, she did a Goblet of Fire tour here. I forget. People who remember all these things, email us because it's been a long time. And I have to refresh my memory. But, yeah, Joe in New York City was the most exciting thing. I got to go to the press
right.
conference, which was excellent. And we got a lot of great tidbits from her, especially for the confirmation that there's something coming with
yes.
Petunia.
And those
you know,
wands.
Little hint.
The wand.
The what?
The importance of the wand. We'll hear more about that. That was
importance of the wands. And that she had a second title, which she thought up in the shower right before the event.
Harry Potter and the Hallows of Death.
Do you think that's what she actually thought of in the shower? I think it wasn't.
No.
I don't think so.
Absolutely.
I don't either. No.
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 Harry Potter.
Speaking of Harry
and
Potter
the,
and the Hallows of Death, that brings us to our drum roll, please. Number one Harry Potter story of the year, which just came out recently. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, the title. Top story of the year by far. I don't care. Podcasts, premieres, not even premieres, movies,
beat
Muggleman
in the trivia contest was pretty
everything.
Big friggin' news.
We didn't talk about that, did we, at our live show? About our live show, yeah. Leaky
the thing
did,
about
did beat
Leaky
Muggleman
staffs
in the trivia
contest. Is that we're pretty darn good.
Because we have Nick Rand on the team, who's the man. But anyway, number one story, out of all that stuff, title easily walks all over it in boots made
yeah.
for walking.
And has launched yeah. 1,000 theories, to put it bluntly.
And she is sitting there, chuckling yeah. her chuckle off. She loves it. She
yeah.
loves the theories. She said that in the
right.
interview from Half-Blood Prince. You can hear her going
right.
for snickering. You yeah. know what I mean? I love the theories.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
I'm going to mail her mine. I'm going to mail her my mm-hmm. theory about the Hufflepuff cup, but...
What about
well, I just think that, you know, cups are meant for drinking. And I think if you know, say Dumbledore or say that Voldemort had to drink something like say fire whiskey or butterbeer out of it, it would cause a deathly reaction and he would die. That's what I'm hoping for.
You think
or maybe not.
That Voldemort's gonna have a cordial
mm-hmm.
and be defeated.
Well, why not? It's just as likely as anything else I've been reading. I mean, come on.
Goblet of
That's
Fire.
That's right, baby. Bring it on.
Okay.
Or maybe not.
So
I know.
That sounds. I don't know. I was going to say
like,
irresponsible, but.
Oh, it's just a fun theory. I mean, it's New Year's Eve, baby. It's New Year's Eve. We're supposed to be celebrating. We're supposed to be having fun here, so okay.
I know you. You
no,
don't really
respond to that. It's just being fun.
I can't wait to take a sip of my non-alcoholic champagne later for the New Year.
Well, you guys are having fun.
John's coming here. I'm going to get to see him.
What are you talking about? I'm already there. It's New Year's Eve. Hello.
Oh, that's right. Hello, it's New Year's Eve. You're here. Hello.
Where are you?
From New York. We're in Times Square right now.
You know, we're actually talking about going into the gosh darn Times Square of all places in the world.
We're nuts. We're just,
I'm going to look for you.
I'm going to wear an inner tube around my waist just so I can breathe.
What is an inner tube?
What is an inner tube?
Yeah.
When you go swimming and you got the tube around your waist?
A little tire thing?
Like
okay,
a tire?
You're doing that by yourself, buddy.
What? I'm going to decorate it with green and silver and Happy New Year and confetti. It's going to look sweet.
I double dare you to do that. I will look for you on the Dick Clark Rockin' New Year.
And take a picture.
Sue, if you like me at all, you won't. It's gonna be crowded enough.
Hey man, I watch those things all the time on like, you know, stay up and watch the Dick Clark and MTV. I'm
gonna
look for you guys.
It's not Dick Clark anymore.
Okay,
it's
okay, Ryan Seacrest. Okay, the MTV one, which I watch too. And
Ryan Seacrest,
look for you guys.
Seacrest yourself out of here for permanence. I don't like that guy.
Oh, maybe is Regis doing one? I like Regis. Maybe he'll be on one of them. I don't know. I'm gonna look for you guys in the crowd. That's it.
Since New Year's is coming, why don't we talk about what we're hoping to accomplish in this.
We really didn't talk at all about the title. We suck.
We've been talking about the title for two shows straight. January is going to be title month.
That's right.
2007 is going to be title year until we get a release date. And let's be honest, we're not going to know much about the book besides the title until the book comes out.
Well, until we get the movie, too. So.
The movie?
We'll have read the book by then, John.
What?
Imagine what Clovis will do with that one.
Talking about
shocking.
The fifth movie.
I know. What does it have to do with the seventh book?
It's about Harry Potter.
Okay. Anyway. What would you guys like to accomplish in this year?
Oh, my goodness.
I gotta do my every year resolution of getting my six-pack abs back from my football years.
Jeez.
About 4 years running
I'm
here.
I'm talking about Pottercast goals,
yet.
John. Pottercast goals.
Oh, I'm actually, what am I talking about? I've had my six-pack abs since I was 8 years old. They're going strong.
Good for you. It's a chocolate milk six-pack, but...
Pottercast resolutions. I'm going to try to put out at least one Pottercast a week and make it the best episode of that number we've ever done for the whole year. Does that sound good?
I'm sorry. I love you, John.
Melissa, mute your microphone now.
I know. She's like, I'm done with these two. Okay, I'll be good.
I was trying to see how long it would take for you guys to notice I wasn't saying anything. Well, mine this year is to continue doing more interviews with people who aren't necessarily in the Harry Potter world, but will have something to say about Harry Potter. That means authors and actors and directors and just fun people. Just bring more variety to the show that way because it's just so much fun, you know. Anyway, I think people respond to it. What about you
two? I would love to do more interviews, but I want to just keep doing the news and bring in our focus on all the news, but just to all the different facets we have to the fandom. We've had so many neat guests on. We've talked about Scribulous, and we've had the Wizard Rock people on, and, you know, I mean, we've just had so many really cool thing. I know we all joke about me being a Hufflepuff, but I really like the different, you know, the authors and the different, you know, speakers we've seen at the conventions. I'm looking forward to going to the conventions this year and meeting people. So hopefully we can get those on the podcast.
Well, speaking of the conventions, we have some announcements. What's coming up for Harry for us this year is first of all more of the same because we will this year do the other two movie commentaries. We will do more shows. We will have a contest of which we announce the answer, the winner. I mean, we promise.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, perhaps. I don't know. We will, as you guys know, be going to Phoenix Rising, but we will also be producing two panels at Phoenix Rising. Sue and I, that's, by the way, Phoenix Rising, the phoenixrises.org. This is the convention in New Orleans, May 17th to the 20th. Sue and I will be producing a discussion and panel on fan journalism,
yes,
talking about what it takes to report on something you love and be recognized as grassroots press from,
yes,
from nothing, you know?
And if you want to join me in heckling them during their presentation, email.
Should I repeat my jokes?
I just repeated mine.
If you want to join me in firing John after the
firing John, no.
Oh, no. And now you can also join us in heckling John, too, because John, Sue, and I will be doing a panel on fan podcasting. We're going to tell you how we do it. We're going to lay it all out.
All the secrets revealed. Every last one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Including behind-the-scenes photos.
But also, we have an announcement about our live podcast there, which will be the night of the opening feast at Phoenix Rising. If you have a ticket to Phoenix Rising, you have a ticket to the podcast. We have a very special announcement. During that week, Brian, who is one half of Draco and the Malfoys, and Matt, who is the Whomping Willows, will be down there. They're going to be doing a special gig at Bourbon Street during the convention. They're also going to be performing live in the podcast.
Ooh, that's going to be rocking! I love it! That's great.
I'm excited about it because it's sort of special. It's a different. It's not like it's their separate groups. They're going to figure out something and do it together. And we'll be talking a lot more about that. And you'll be hearing from them about it. And we'll be hearing, be hearing from us about it. You'll be hearing about it. So it's going to be a really special podcast. We're thinking about a lot of different ways to make it really special. So we hope
Absolutely.
That you'll join us.
The Big Easy.
And we think that we're not positive yet, guys. Don't hold me to this, but we do think that there's going to be a leaky mug at Prophecy.
Ooh.
We're not positive yet. We're still working out the details. We're still talking to the lovely people over there. We're still figuring out the who, what's, where's, when's, and why's, whether the hotel's going to charge us $400,000 to put up the equipment like last time. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we can do it because I can't go anywhere. I went to the Wizard Rock concert. Everybody's asking me if we're going to be a Prophecy. It's like, okay, we will figure this out. So,
another busy year ahead for podcasts, that's for sure.
Seriously, it's not going to end. We didn't talk that we won a podcast award this year.
Amazing.
For best entertainment. That Leaky won its Webby this year. Yeah, it's just been a great year. So thank you guys for the year of support, the year of laughs, all the comments you guys make, all the many times you voted for us on Podcast Alley.
Them.
Oh my gosh, we're going to start asking you to do that again next week. Basically for making the show what it is, and we appreciate it.
It is. You know, it makes a difference. It's true, because if you guys weren't enjoying what we're doing, then there would be, I know. I don't know what to say. It's just awesome. It's just best.
And I can tell you what, we joke a lot, but we would not be doing this anymore if it still wasn't fun.
Right.
It's fun every week, every time. Even if, I don't really like these two clowns over here. We do, it's still pretty fun anyway. I gotta say.
He just insults me. I'm leaving.
Oh.
That's it. I give up. It's not fun for me anymore. John doesn't like me. I'm gone.
No.
Turn out my trailer.
People,
call my agent.
God, I'm out. I'm drained. It's the end of the year. I'm out of funny juice. You gotta turn me off.
Every year, a John Noe runs out of funny juice. You can help him regain his funny juice by clapping your hands really loud.
Yes, and click your feet a little bit.
Dang, I do believe in John Noe. I get him his funny juice back, people. We're going to be Mick like Jerry Lewis over here.
We're back in business.
Yay! Well, guys, seriously, it's going to be such a wonderful year. There may be a book. There might be a book. And if so, you can bet your bottom patootie that we will cover it.
A blanket, baby.
Like a lot. There'll be some coverage.
And plus the movie, too. We'll be covering that, too. So don't forget, busy year.
Oh, there's probably going to be a Leaky Mug in London for the first time ever to go with the movie. We're trying to make it happen. We're talking to people now. trying to make it happen. I mean, there's going to be a, there's so much happening this year. You thought 2006 was big. 2007 is going to be astronomical. So,
on that note, should we go?
I think it's,
John, I have to go prepare. I have to go clean.
I think, yeah, you know, because I just woke up with a baby.
Aww.
2006 also brought my little Charlie into the world here, my nephew, little right. guy. I just woke him up because I'm a big butthead.
Okay. We're going to let yeah. butthead Uncle John go deal with the baby that he woke up.
Yes.
And we will see you on the flip side of 2007.
Happy New Year, everyone. Love you guys.
Happy Woo-hoo. New Year.
See you, everybody.
We've missed it.
W is three.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now. If you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great Scott, no wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when one's having fun.
Don't know the words, but I sing.
Nobody does,
anyway.
No any of these words.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.